Good morning, Emmanuel. Let me tell you, I can't wait. A couple more weeks, on June 28th to be exact, we will be reopening our worship facility here at Emmanuel. It'll be so great to see you. It'll be so great to preach to more than just Jim and Cheryl Dice. They've been so great in doing the live streaming these many weeks. So I invite you to join us on the 28th. However you feel comfortable. But there'll be some limited seating in the church, overflow in the youth center. And you know, you can come by car. Now, normally that'd be kind of a, why would I want to do that? But the 28th is going to be our reopening as a time when we can show in our presence that we're all together. And it's my 11th anniversary here too. So why not celebrate? We bought an FM transmitter. If you park over in the north parking lot, you should be able to hear the audio or watch it on your smartphone, the whole thing on live stream, or join us inside. That's the good news. Of course, it's been a traumatic time. There's no doubt about it, and I'm not going to just mask over it. There's been a lot of trauma in our world today and in our own personal lives, and that's my focus in my message this morning. I looked up the word trauma. It says an experience of feeling either overwhelmed or helpless or paralyzed. And it can come about in a lot of different ways. Last week I shared with you what happened to me when my first wife passed away. I was traumatized for a while. But it doesn't have to be anything that serious. It could just be being badgered at work, with no way out and no place to go and too early to retire. It could be something that happens after a car accident. It could be something that happens after a divorce. Or maybe you've been abused or whatever it happens to be. It can be that we're just cocooned in our own place with the same people and we just feel there's no out and it'll never be the same. There's a lot of trauma going on in our nation today and in our lives. Now, people ask me, Pastor Ed, if God is so good, if God is love, then how can he allow this to continue? Why doesn't he just get rid of evil? Why the drama of the trauma? Why didn't he just wipe out all kinds of evil? Well, that's a great question. May I ask you one? What is evil? What would you say? Evil is the opposite of God. God is good. God is love. The opposite of love and good is evil. And God knows this. So why doesn't he just kick the world to pieces? He's the potter. We're the clay. Isn't that what you would have done? Why doesn't he kick the world to pieces? It's because God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. He almost did kick the world to pieces one day in a terrible flood. God's anger over sin is real. His justice is absolute. And there will come a day when he will put an end to evil. But there's this love that's also at work. Well, if there's that love at work, you maybe ask this question. Well, then why doesn't he just simplify the whole thing, get out his magic wand, and just eradicate evil? Problem solved. Well, that's what you'd think. He did that in heaven with the angels. At one time, the angels had a choice, and that's why Lucifer could rebel in pride and ended up being cast out of heaven as Satan. But then they were confirmed in bliss. They no longer have a choice. God never intended for us to be created that way. So that is why from day one there was always a choice, good or evil. Because if you don't have a choice of good or evil, then is it really good? I mean, the purpose for God in loving us is that we might love him back. But the only way to truly love someone back is to have a choice of not loving them back. If you're a parent, one of the things you really love to see happen is for your child to love you. But you know if they do so, it's because of their willingness to do so. They would have a choice not to do it. And if that choice were taken away, then there wouldn't really be that love anymore. And so evil abides. The Bible calls it sin. Sin is going against God's good and going against God's love. And it's happening around us more and more. Listen to what it says in Romans 5:12. Sin came into the world because of what one man did. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they fell into sin. And as a result of that, the pandemic of sin went to all of humankind. This insidious disease that's incurable is upon all of us, and it creates evil. Before sin entered into the world, there was no evil. Adam and Eve were to have lived forever in the garden. They could just hang out for all eternity in paradise. But once sin came, God said, no more. My love is too great to allow you to live for all eternity on this earth of sin. I'm not going to ask you to do that. You can live here for a while, accomplish your purpose in life, but this place is no good for you to live for all eternity. And so he set the boundaries of our birth and our death. And he has made it possible a better place for us. And so this earth has become of itself broken by sin and death. The world groans as though in travail. So sin affected everything. Everything is imploding. Everything is turning from good to bad. And that's why there's disease. That's why we're dealing with this virus. That's why there's man's inhumanity to man, as we've seen on the streets of the cities, and this, as we look into our own hearts. I listed a few things that weren't there in the Garden of Eden before sin. This is what I came up with. Before sin, there was no decay, damage, debauchery, debt, disability, deceit, defeat, defiance, defilement, dehumanization. None of those things were in the garden before sin. Delusion, dementia, depravity, deprivation, deviance, dictators, disunity, deportation, despotism, disloyalty, disgrace, depression, destruction, devastation, desertion, distress, disease, divorce, or dysfunction. None of them were there before sin. Distrust, disputes, destitution, disease, disasters, desperation, despair. That's what sin brought into the world. Now with sin, with evil, you also have tribulation. Through much tribulation, you enter into the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says. And in the book of James, it tells us, don't be surprised when you have trials on earth, because Jesus said things are going to get bad to worse. Man's inhumanity to man is only going to increase on the days before Jesus returns to put an end to it all. Listen to what it says in Matthew 24:12. There will be more and more evil in the world, so most people will stop showing their love for each other. He said it's going to increase over time. And that brings me to point number three, if you're following the outline. God grieves. He grieves when he sees us traumatized. It may surprise you, but God has emotions. Or maybe it shouldn't surprise you, because we're made in the image of God and we have emotions. Well, so does he. He can laugh. He can be grieved. He can feel pain. Here's a Bible passage for you. Genesis chapter 6. In Noah's day, the Lord was deeply grieved that he had made man, and his heart was filled with pain. How would you like to memorize one this morning? From John 11:35. You can do this one, really. Even if you have a short attention span, you can do this. John 11:35. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the whole Bible. Can you say that with me? Jesus wept. John 11:35. But it's an important passage because it shows that God grieves, God weeps, God, when God sees us in pain, he's right there with us. Isaiah 63:9. In all their suffering, he as God suffered too. God suffers with us when we're in pain. It's one of the most important things we can be aware of when we're going through our own time of trauma in our life. God suffers with me. He's not apathetic to pain. He's not like some of these other religions where God's just pie in the sky and that's it. He's just out there and he never has any feelings toward anything. And of course, the greatest example of all this is when Jesus came to earth. And when the greatest evil was done to anyone ever was done to Jesus Christ on the cross. When someone who was perfect, the only perfect person to have ever lived, because he was God, the Son of God, he was innocent, he was tortured, he was abused, he was humiliated, he was murdered. That was sheer evil. The evil before Easter. God suffering with me, suffering for me. Psalm 56:8. You, Lord, keep a record of all my sorrows. You collected all my tears in your bottle, and you list each one in your book. Isn't that? That's a passage. Can you think of that? You think God takes no note when you're in pain, when you're going through trauma? He is taking every one of your tears. He's putting it away in his bottle. He's writing it, each one down in his book. That's how closely he feels your trauma. And not only has he seen every tear you've cried, every pain you've suffered, he's recorded them. He pays attention to them. Now, some of you are in tremendous pain right now. You're going through a lot of issues today. And you don't know where to turn. You don't know that God even knows about it. You don't know if he even cares about it. You hope he does. You've read he did. A lady once asked me, "Where was God when my son died?" And I softly said to her, "In the very same place he was when his son died. There in tears, in anguish, alongside him, saying, 'I suffer with you.'" The fourth thing we need to know about evil and trauma is that God will judge everyone justly one day. God is a God of justice. We often talk about him as a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. There is coming a day of retribution. There is coming a judgment day. And why? Because God cares for your injustice that you've suffered. God cares about the trauma that's been inflicted in your life. God cares about justice more than you and I do. You say, "I want justice for what was done to me." Believe me, that day will be coming. It'll be a day of reckoning, a day of judgment. The Bible says it's going to be an awesome and fearsome day when you fall in the hands of the living God. Because without faith in Jesus Christ as the one who loves you, all that's left is a God of judgment. The 11th chapter, 27th verse of Hebrews, it says, "God has appointed that every person will die and after that face the judgment." God has appointed that day, and you'll never be late for it. You won't miss it. It won't be canceled. It's written and etched out in stone in history. On that day when the Lord returns, he is going to judge the living and the dead. That's what we just confessed in the Apostles' Creed. We who are Christians have already been judged. The judgment we would have had to suffer for the sin that's in us has been put on Jesus. So we will escape judgment. We'll simply be with the Lord. But sin will have to face its death. And that death is an eternal separation from God. And that's why we need salvation. Nobody knows what I'm doing. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Nothing can be hidden from God. Everything and all creation is exposed to his eyes, and each of us will give an account of our lives to Him. And when we give an account of our lives to God the Father, and He runs the reel of all the things that we've done wrong, nothing will show up. Because Jesus has erased it. The beautiful thing about it is all our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. And that leads us to number 5. God can bring good out of bad if we trust Him. God specializes in that sort of thing, you know. He specializes in making resurrections out of crucifixions. God uses the worst evil in history to save the world. We go back to that seminal text that we've been using this entire series, Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, for those who have been called according to His purpose. He says, I'm a God who knows how to bring good, even out of the bad and ugly and traumatic things that have or are now occurring in your life. If you'll but give me the pieces, I'll give you peace. But can such a thing happen? Especially if we're traumatized and in pain? So I would like us to look at a couple of steps of how we get out of trauma. The very first thing we need to know is that we need to accept help from God, help from others. It's almost impossible for a person to recover from trauma all by themselves. We need one another. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, God comforts us in our doubts and our troubles so that we can comfort others. You know that there are people around you who have been placed on earth just to comfort you. They've already been through much of what you've been through. Many people here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church are in a position to love you as they love God, to show it. Galatians 6:2 says, by helping each other's troubles and burdens, you're obeying the law of Christ. So we love God. We love others. We show it. And if you are by yourself, consider Emmanuel to be your family. You may start by simply dropping me a note. Email me. Call me. Text me. Or maybe you know somebody else in our church, an elder, a friend, a small group that you're with. Let them know what's going on in your life. Let them pray for you. Seek them out. The second point is to make sure you zero in on the truth of what's really going on in your life. Because I have found that when a person is traumatized, one of two things is occurring. First of all, when we're traumatized, we can become numb. We can become dead. We can become one without any senses left. We just are in the corner. We don't feel anything. We're isolated. We're insolent. And when we've gone through trauma, one of the problems is that we just don't feel anything and we don't care about anything anymore. The other thing that can happen when you're going through trauma is that oftentimes our feelings, which are not very reliable to begin with, our emotions begin to get carried away and we begin to believe lies. We begin to believe conspiracy theories. We begin to believe things that are not really totally true. Let me read to you what it says in 2 Corinthians 1. Paul, the apostle, went through a lot of trauma. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. All kinds of things. 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9, Paul says, we were crushed and completely overwhelmed. That's called trauma. And we thought, notice he says, we thought we'd never live through it. We expected to die. Now, many people may feel that way right now. The whole thing that's going on in the United States right now, all the unrest, all the injustice, all the perceived abuses and real, we get the same feeling. We're traumatized. And when we're going through trauma, we may have an unreal feeling. Paul says, I think I'm going to die. The Lord told him he was going to make it to Rome. He should have known better. But in trauma, we sometimes let things get carried away. So when you're going through trauma, You need to change the way you talk to yourself. And you may want to write these things down. Number one, trauma is not my fault. Number two, trauma is not my identity. Number three, trauma is not my future. It's not my fault. It's not my identity. It's not my future. So the key to recovery, I don't know if you're going to believe this, the key to recovery is to forgive. You just have so much emotion left, so much energy left if you're traumatized. You're trying to keep it all together. And oftentimes, much of the whatever energy we have when we're traumatized is out to get revenge, out to get even, out to even the score. My friends, that type of energy is going to be self-destructive. Put that energy instead into forgiving the wrongs that were done you so you can recover yourself. But again, it's a choice. You can decide if you want to spend your life bitter or make your life better. Where am I going to put that energy? Anytime you hold on to your hurts, you're not hurting the other person. You're hurting yourself. When you hold on to your hurt, you just keep getting hurt over and over and over again. But what about the justice? Well, justice is important. And God is a God of justice. And the Bible says, that's my role, God says. That's the role I've given to government. And in a nation like ours, it's a representative government. We can vote, we can elect people, we can do peaceful protests. But when all is said and done, we've got to give it over to those God has put in authority for this. God says in Romans 13, you might want to read the whole chapter of Romans 13 about God telling government to enforce the laws. Let me read to you two verses. It's from 12:19. God says, don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging. I'll take care of it. Well, what do I do with my negative emotions? What do I do with my pent-up anger? If I'm not going to try to seek revenge for all these injustices done to me, and the reason I'm so filled with trauma right now, what's the answer? Well, listen to what it says in Lamentation chapter 2, verse 19. Get up and pray for help all through the night. Isn't the night usually the worst time? You're alone, you're thinking. He says, get up and pray for help all through the night. Pour out your feelings to the Lord as you would pour out water out of a log. What a beautiful verse. Pour out your frustrations. God can handle your anger, your frustrations. You give it to God. You let go. And you let God, as the saying goes, take over. And you become absolved of that. It's taken off your back. You no longer have to look backwards. You now are in a position to look forward and upward in your life. And that leaves me with one more thing to say, the fourth principle of recovery, hope and trust God for the strength to recover. In Job 11 is a beautiful verse, good advice. In it he says, give your whole heart to God, and hold out your hands for him to help you. And then you'll lift your face without shame. God doesn't want us to live in shame. You'll lift your face without shame. You'll stand firm without fear. Listen to this. God will protect you and give you rest. You won't be afraid of your enemies. In fact, many people will ask you for help. That's what happens when God takes hold of our trauma and we let go and we let him move us forward and upward. Will you join with me in prayer? Lord, many of us today find ourselves traumatized with everything that's going on, what's happening in us. So we thank you today for reminding us that you are good, that you are love. And thank you for empowering us by the Holy Spirit so we might have the capacity to love you back. We lament those times when sin and evil had their way in us. We lament, too, for all the evil and sin in our world today. It seems like it's increasing more and more. And so we pray for you to hasten your return. Will you just come back quickly, Lord? We are your child. And we want to thank you for the assurance of your love and acceptance given to us in your Son, Jesus. He's the one who died on the cross. He took away our every sin, every evil, to die for it, to pay the price for it. So, Lord, we pray for all who this day are suffering. We ask you to take away their pain. Ask you to give them hope, a family who loves them. And let Emmanuel be that family. And now as we, in 2 weeks, plan to reopen this church, bless that endeavor. May it bring unity evermore to our congregation and be a blessing for all who worship here, who worship online, with every blessing as you promised. Amen.